podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Let's take our Bibles now and turn to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 26. Kind of a short scripture reading this morning, Proverbs 25, 26. If you have your pew Bible, that's on page 467. Proverbs 25, verse 26. Like a muddied spring or a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way to the wicked. Let me read that again. Like a muddied spring or a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way to the wicked. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, use your word this morning to teach us, Lord, to move us, to encourage us, Father, to cleanse us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I've taken in enough calories in the last week or so that I think I could just probably curl up and hibernate until the middle of March. Anybody want to join me in that? Yeah. Some of you agree. Well, Christmas is that magical time of the year when, after eating a meal with a full appetizer, meat, potato, vegetables, and you know macaroni and cheese is a vegetable, by the way, and you know all the other great things, the side dishes that come along with it, and you know what? Why not just put some of that cranberry stuff on there while you're at it, and Jell-O salad and all of it. After eating a full meal like that, and then later on having coffee and dessert, you still grab a few cookies when you pass by the plate. And then you find yourself a few minutes later unwrapping a small miniature Reese's peanut butter cup. What are you thinking? What are we thinking, you know? Are we storing up for later? What is the purpose for this? Do we really think that binging is a part of celebrating the birth of our Lord? Is that what it's all about? And then there are certain foods that only come around at Christmas time. You know, candy canes, fruitcake, those little snowball cookies that I love so much, and eggnog. I mean, these things, eggnog basically appears in your grocery store somewhere around Thanksgiving, and it's gone on January 2nd. You know, it's on clearance, and it's gone. And you really don't see it any other time of the year, because people just don't drink eggnog at any other time of the year. You don't see yourself laying by the pool with a little beads of sweat on you, and someone says, "Would you like something cold to drink? You know, some iced tea, or you know, maybe a cold Coke, or some sparkling water. What would you like?" And you don't say, "Well, you know, I could really go for an eggnog right about now." Just doesn't work any other time of the year, but at Christmas time, bring on the eggnog, and you know, as much as I can possibly have. And so, if you're like me, you're feeling a little bit bloated today. And maybe somewhat guilty over it all. And it's time for a detox. It's time to flush your system of all those poisons that you have consumed that are filling your body. And detox is, it's a big business these days. You know, here's an image off of the internet. Here are the benefits of detox. Weight loss, more vitality, it enhances your mental clarity. It gives you restful sleep, radiant skin, a more youthful appearance, and an improved wellness. I mean, empower your body, mind, and spirit. Let us assist you to reach your goal for optimal energy, health, and vitality. Sounds great. Sign me up. I need a detox right now. Well, how does that work? Well, there are plenty of recipes out there for detox drinks. For example, you get your blender, you stuff it full of spinach and kale, whatever that is, and then you drop in part of an apple, a sprig of mint, some fresh celery, any other green nasty stuff you've got sitting at the bottom of your refrigerator, asparagus, broccoli, whatever else you have left over there that nobody ate. And you take it and you stuff it in your blender, and you blend it all together until it's this lumpy, juicy consistency. And you hold your nose and you glug it down as fast as you possibly can. And if you want to add ice to it, you can call it a smoothie. And it's just the greatest thing for your body, apparently. It's sure to cleanse your system. Or it might make you lose your last meal, one or the other. But it's going to work. And there is plenty of advice at this time of the year of how you can detox your body. They say drink only water for a little while. You know, go for some long walks and you know, reset your energy. Fast. You know, don't eat anything for a little while, or eat nothing that tastes good. That's my favorite. Just don't eat anything that tastes good and you'll be detoxed in no time. Fill yourself up with as much fiber as you possibly can. It'll grab all the bad stuff and pull it through your body. And you'll be spending a lot of time in that special room. And there is plenty of advice for how to detox your body. But what about your soul? What about your soul? After all, you are more than just a body. You are a soul. In fact, it's been accredited to C.S. Lewis or George MacDonald. There's arguments about who said it because they can't find it in anybody's writing. But there is this quote that comes from someone. It says, "You are not a body with a soul. You are a soul with a body." Well, that's pretty important, isn't it? That we think of our bodies as being all important, that we have to care for our bodies and cleanse our bodies and take the right vitamins and exercise. And we always are concerned about this external fleshy part of us. But what about the part that lasts forever? What about the eternal part of us, the soul, the part that we can't necessarily see with our eyes, but we all know is there? It's really what makes us a person. The body is going to die. It's going to be put into the ground. The soul will continue. We'll be given a new body for eternity, but the soul is going to remain the same. So how do we detox our soul? You know, we have not only taken in vast amounts of poisons through our mouths and in our stomachs, but we've also taken in some toxic thoughts, some poison ideas, some images through our eyes, and we've bought into some lies and just some real nasty stuff that this world has had to offer. Whether we wanted to take it in or not, we took it in. And it's a part of who we are, and it's there deep within our souls. We don't just need a body detox, we also need a soul detox. Now, I came up with this great name for this message. I was all excited about it, and then I decided, well, you know what, I think I'll Google it, soul detox. See if anybody else has worked on this at all. And sure enough, Craig Groeschel has written a book called Soul Detox. I don't feel so special anymore. So I, of course, picked up the book and decided, well, I need to see what this is all about. What does he write about? And it's a great book, let me tell you. And I would encourage you to pick this up if you want to really delve into this matter. Because he talks about things like the fact that we buy into lies, deception infection, septic thoughts, lethal language, hazardous waste uncovering our hidden sins, bitter roots digging up the destructive sources of resentment, green with envy scratching the poison ivy of comparison. Some great things. Rage rash, neutralizing the acid of anger. Scare pollution, unlocking the chokehold of fear. And a number of other topics. So we don't have time to go through all of what Craig Groeschel goes through in his Soul Detox book, but I think this would be a great book for small group study. In fact, it might just end up in one of our small group studies before too long. But I would encourage that. And the way that Craig Groeschel begins the book is he says that he grew up in a home where all of his parents and everyone who ever came into his home smoked. And they smoked in his home, and he never thought anything of the fact that they were all smokers. And he just lived in the house, and it was normal to him that the smell of smoke, it didn't affect him at all. He said he'd never really even realized it until he got to college. And he went into his room, and his roommate said, "Man, you stink. You smell nasty. Everything you own smells like smoke." And he kind of thought to himself, well, he didn't notice this before. So he started to smell himself and didn't notice anything at all. Well, he went, he took a shower, he cleaned his things, he brought it into the room, and then he went home for a break from college, and he walked in the door of his house, and he said, for the first time in his life, he realized that he'd been living in a toxic environment. How horrible that smell was. And then he got back to school and he had to go through it all again, clean himself, clean his clothes, everything because of that toxic environment. Well, Craig Groeschel then goes on to say that we as Christians live in a toxic world and we are covered with the smells of this world. All of the toxins and the pollutants and the evil messages and the untruths that we have been fed, that we believe, we've breathed it in, it's a part of who we are, and we desperately, from time to time, need to just detox. We need to get rid of some of that. We need to cleanse ourselves from this. My intent this morning is just to give you a quick recipe to detox your soul here at the end of 2012 and to prepare yourself for a new year, to freshen up a little bit. I mean, what are some of the priorities that you can mix together in order to cleanse some of the spiritual toxins that have built up inside of you? And we start with that verse, of course, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 26, says that we are like muddied springs and polluted wells. When we, the ones who are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, the ones who are called righteous because of who Christ is, when we give way before the wicked, important words there are, we give way. We yield to wickedness. We allow wickedness to gain a foothold in our lives. We knowingly place ourselves in environments where wickedness seeps into our lives, through our ears, through our eyes, through our attitudes, and then that same wickedness begins to work on the inside of us once it gets there. It's like a cancer. It's introduced to our bodies. It begins to grow. It's like a dieter who gives away to a block of fudge, you know? Just one little piece of fudge, it won't hurt me. Next thing you know, the whole bowl is gone, right? It's that difficult, and wickedness is like that to us as believers in Jesus Christ. So let's look at some of these toxins that we need to remove from our lives. One of the toxins is sin. It is this continuous, habitual practice, these sinful actions that we continue to entertain in our lives. We allow them to take hold of us, and we know better. We know better. Now, the sin is different for each and every one of us. You know, we could probably each this morning list a number of sins that we've been involved in that we know, well, I need to stop that. I really need to get a hold on that in my life, but we just continue. Over and over and over again, these habitual sins. A sin, of course, is described as anything that's outside the will of God, outside of His plan for you. That's a sin, and we know better. So we need our first step in our soul detox, which is cleansing confession. Cleansing confession. We need to start on our knees. Great verse, of course, from 1 John 1:9 about confession says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He will cleanse us. He will detox us. He will purify us. If we will come before God with the attitude of confession and say, God, I am tired of this sin that I continue to commit. And Lord, I desperately need Your help with this. And we bring it before Him, we lay it on the table, we confess it, and He says, I will forgive your sin. I will purify you. I will cleanse you. Now we know that when Jesus died on the cross, that He took all of our sins with Him on the cross. He took them away for all eternity. We put our faith in Him and we are forgiven of our sins. Past, present, future, all of our sins are gone. However, day to day, we live in this filthy world and we continue to sin. We continue to do what ought not to be done before God's eyes. And so we feel this relationship problem between us and God. You know, even though He's already forgiven us, we still know that we have this sin that blocks our relationship toward Him. And so we need to take the time, even as believers in Christ who have been forgiven, that verse, by the way, was written to believers, not unbelievers. We need to take the time to confess our sins before God. Now, I don't believe that you need to confess every sin or else it's not forgiven. I believe all of our sins are forgiven. However, I do believe that it is good for us as Christians to confess our sins in order to experience the feeling of forgiveness that God offers to us and to restore the feeling of a renewed relationship with God. The confession is not just a one-time deal. It's something we need to continue throughout our walk with the Lord. Spend some time in silence with Him if you want to detox. Make a list. Pray over the list of sins that you have committed, the known sins that you know that you're still participating in. Confess these sins one by one by one. Bring them before God. Tell God what you think of these sins and how they're driving you crazy. Tell Him that you want this poison out of your life. Envision the Savior on the cross, suffering, bleeding, dying, in order to take away your sin. Just envision him there. Why must we make him suffer over and over and over again by continuously bringing these sins up again? Confess and receive the forgiveness of God. There's another toxin that enters our lives, and that's bitterness. Bitterness, this unforgiveness or this grudge that we hold against other people that gets trapped in our system and can't come out, and it blocks some of the spiritual life that we should have because we hold on to this, because somebody has done us wrong. Somebody did us wrong, or maybe we perceive they did us wrong. They don't even know that they did us wrong, and they deserve to pay for their sin. And so deep in our hearts and in our minds, we trap them. And we throw away the key and we say, I will never let you go because you did me wrong. And we hold a grudge. We become bitter. We refuse to speak to them. We hold them hostage in our hearts. And that's a deep, desperate toxin that grows like a cancer within our hearts. The problem with your bitter unforgiveness is that the only one who's really suffering is you. The person that you're holding that grudge against probably doesn't even know, probably doesn't even care, may have moved beyond it. Doesn't matter to them anymore, but it matters to you, and you're the one who suffers. What we need is another element of our detox, freeing forgiveness. For if you forgive, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I think what the verse teaches us is we really can't embrace God's forgiveness until we extend our forgiveness. How can we understand the forgiveness that God offers to us until we're willing to offer forgiveness to others? It's time to let go of that festering, ugly, bitter grudge that you've been holding, that unforgiveness that is buried somewhere within your soul, to bury the hatchet somewhere where you can never dig it up again. I mean, what a way to start fresh is by eliminating that evil from your life altogether and becoming free, to be free by forgiving others. There's another toxin that we deal with in our soul, and that is this toxin of self-loathing. You know, deep inside, we think some terrible thoughts about ourselves. You know, we may not express them on the outside, but we think them on the inside. Deep inside, we say, you know, I'm not good enough. God doesn't really love me. Nobody really likes me. If anybody really knew the truth about me, they wouldn't want to be around me. You know, I know the truth about myself. I know the things that I think. I know the things that I've allowed to enter my heart and my mind, and I'm ugly. No, nobody wants me. Nobody likes me. I'm not worthy to be loved, and definitely not by God, because God knows the truth about me. And so we beat ourselves up over these thoughts, that these ideas that come from within us, and we need another element of our soul detox, which is encouraging esteem. We need to hear the voice of God as he speaks over us. We desperately need to take the truth and to put it in some sort of a smoothie and to just ingest it and allow it to seep into our bodies and into our blood. We need to hear it to believe it. Listen to some of the truth that God has to say about you. 1 John 4, starting with verse 7, he says, this is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. The thing is this, look, God loves you so much that he was willing to send his very best, his Son, in order to clear away your sins. He cares that much about you that he was able to take you off the scrap heap of this world and through the blood of his Son to cleanse you and polish you and buff you and to make you right again and to call you to himself. That's how much he loves you. He could have left you laying there in your sin. But instead, he rescued you and he grabbed you and he reclaimed you and he loves you. You need to hear Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. Listen to these words. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Isn't that a great picture of God? When was the last time that somebody delighted in you? Or even said that to you, you know, I take great delight in you. God says that to us. And he says, I will rejoice over you with singing. So we think we come on Sunday morning, we sing these songs to God, and we worship him, not even realizing all along that God is rejoicing over us with singing. He's not worshiping us now. Don't get it wrong, but he loves us so much that he delights in us. And that doesn't mean us corporately. It means you individually. He delights in you. He sings over you. You're very special to God. He loves you completely, no matter what your mind might say, no matter what lies the enemy might have fed into our hearts, no matter what toxins have been allowed to seep into our souls, God loves us, delights in us, cares for us. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He cares for you. We just need to hear that every now and then. I do. God needs to come before us and just look us in the eye and say, I care about you. Every little thing that's going on in your life right now, every relationship, the brokenness, the hurt, God says, I care about it. I can handle your anxiety. Give it all to me. Give me your worries and your troubles because I care desperately for you. And I did everything that I can possibly do in order to take those cares away from you. And then Romans chapter 8, we read, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing on this planet or any other planet that could ever separate us from the love of God. Not even spiritual powers, angels and demons. Not even death or life. Not even time, the present, the future. None of it. Not even space, height, depth. Nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love. Even our sin, you know, we desperately can try to do everything we possibly can to run away from God. God, please hate me now. Please. Please, I've done all of this terrible stuff and I want to get away from you. I'm hiding from you and I'm in the darkness. And God, I've gotten as far away from you as I possibly can. I'm playing hide and seek. I'm in the last hiding place where you would ever look for me, God. And God says, I see you and I still love you. But nothing can separate us from the love of God. He loves you. He cares for you. He saves you. He sent his best, his own son for you. He grieves when you grieve. He rejoices with you when you rejoice. He delights in you. And when you turn to him in love and worship, he's pleased with you. But when you sin against him and you drag his name through the mud, he still loves you just as much. Nothing changes. His love never fails. Boy, we need to understand that. There's this Facebook picture that keeps popping up from time to time of this hunter, okay? And he's got an elk. And basically, the story behind the picture is this. This guy's hunting for elk. He finally kills this prize elk, and he sets up his camera on his phone, and he puts it to take a time delay picture, and he poses with the elk, and snap, the picture's taken. He goes home. He starts looking through the pictures. And lo and behold, look what appears over his left shoulder. Looking through his picture, he nearly wets his pants, right? Because he had no idea what was going on behind him. I've seen this picture come up a lot. Unfortunately, it's been photoshopped. It's not a real picture. This didn't actually happen. Somebody decided to put that cat back there in the picture, just to help the picture go viral and to get a lot of hits or whatever it is they do. I don't know why, and I don't know what they're thinking, but if you look it up on some of the websites like Snopes, where you can see if it's true or not, they'll tell you, this thing's not true. It's photoshopped. Well, whether it's photoshopped or not, there is a great lesson to be found in this picture. And that is, Satan is like a lion who is always there, looming in the background, looking for an opportunity, an opening to jump through, to take us away from God, to poison us. So there's another toxin that we're dealing with this morning, and that is our own poor decisions that we make. And we need another soul detox, and that is defending discernment. Discernment is needed. We need to take this vitamin D. We need to get it down deep into our souls in order that we might understand the difference between right and wrong, the difference between what God likes and approves and the difference between what is destructive to us. These days, probiotics are all the rage. Live bacteria that you put inside of your body, like Activia. You eat the yogurt and stuff gets down in you and it just starts working, It's alive. Some supplements that you can buy that have probiotics in them. Eating things like kimchi and, believe it or not, sauerkraut can put probiotics into your system. And these foods, go on down and get a hot dog with sauerkraut, and the hot dog might kill you, but the sauerkraut will fight it off. So you put these two things together and they balance each other out. But you put this bacteria, it's good bacteria, into your system, and you allow it to do its duty. The good bacteria fights off the bad bacteria, cleanses you. And this is supposed to be a good thing, apparently. And this is my prayer. We read in Philippians chapter 1, starting with verse 9 through 11, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I look at this verse, and discernment seems like a probiotic. It's something that we take in. We take in the Word of God, and we're able to tell the difference between what is right and what's wrong. It gets into our system, and then we become pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with righteousness growing within us. But we need discernment. It's like a probiotic for your soul. To develop a colony of discernment in your soul that's living and active, and you will be able to avoid future poor decisions because you have this wisdom and discernment that's placed in your heart from the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, we read, "They are a nation," speaking about Israel now, "without sense." There's no discernment in them, God says. If only they were wise and would understand this and discern what their end will be. That's what discernment's about. And God could say the same thing about us today. There's no discernment. How do we allow some of the shots that are being taken on our goal to get through? How on earth do we allow them to get through? Oh, they won't hurt us. They won't harm us. There's nothing bad here. It'll be all right. A few dirty words that I hear. It's still a hilarious movie. I really enjoyed it. And the things keep coming by us and flying by us, and the toxins of this world we allow to get in there. And God says, look, if you had any discernment, you would realize what your end will be. Discern what the end of it is. See, what is the goal that you're trying to reach? If the goal that you're trying to reach is to be pleasing and fit for the Lord, then you're going to allow these things to creep into your life. Show some discernment, and you will understand what the end will be. If the end product you want is to be pleasing and fit for the Lord, then find out what pleases Him, Ephesians chapter 5. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in goodness and righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Discern between the darkness and the light. Discern between that which God doesn't want for you and that which God does want for you, and then begin to consume those things and do those things and take on those attitudes and actions that God wants for you. We need to learn the difference between wrong and right all over again. And it's a daily battle because the world keeps throwing new stuff at us. And we have to take the new stuff and look at it and say, is this good or is this bad? Is this something I should be involved in or not? And the only way that we can make that decision is if God gives us the powers of discernment that come from His Word, studying His Word and knowing Him and growing in His truth. We need to recover our powers of wisdom and understanding, our righteous radar, to know what is right and what's wrong. And then we need to make our life decisions based on that discernment. We need to make godly choices in our lives. So the vitamin D of discernment is like a probiotic that we ingest into our system, and it fights against the darkness that's embedded in our hearts and our minds. Now, here's a pretty good recipe to get you started on a soul detox for the new year. There's many other things you could add to this, but just get started here, someplace to start. Say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to take some time. First of all, to confess my sins before you, to list them, to recognize what those sins are, to lay them out before you, God, and then to bow down before you and say, God, I need to get rid of these things, and just confess them to Him. These are the sins that Christ died for. Will you bring them before the Lord and ask for His forgiveness? And then while you're receiving His forgiveness, will you extend forgiveness to others? Think about those who are trapped inside your rage, your bitterness, your hatred. Those that you've not allowed to come out of that little cage in your heart where you've thrown away the key, and say, God, give me the strength to forgive them. Even if they haven't asked for forgiveness, help me, Lord, to just unload that bitterness and say, you know what? I don't hate you anymore. I don't hate you anymore. I used to hate you, but you know, I've decided that I don't need that bitterness inside of me anymore. So I've asked the Lord to take it away. And I'm asking Him to help me to start to love you, in fact. Even though you've treated me so ugly and so wrong, and even though you've hurt me, I've asked God to help me to love you instead, because He loves me, and look what I did to Him. To confess your sins, to provide forgiveness to others that you might be free of that bitterness and that grudge. And then also to hear the voice of God speaking words of love into your life. To build up that esteem once again, that God loves you and cares for you and wants the best for you. And then to discern. To discern. To mix in that vitamin D, that probiotic that will exist within your heart and allow you to tell the difference between wrong and right, that you'll start to make the right decisions once again. This is a good place to start, to detox your soul, because our soul will always be with us. A great recipe to get you started on your soul detox for the new year and to freshen up, you know, to clear out the toxins, to get started on a new way of thinking and living for 2013. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word, and we confess, oh God, that there have been many times where we have given way to wickedness. And Lord, as a result, we are polluted, as your word says. Father, we desperately need your forgiveness. We desperately need, Lord, for you to take away our sin and to help us, Lord, step by step by step, to walk with you, to be filled with your Spirit, and Lord, to be cleansed. Not just cleansed spiritually, but Lord, to also experience that cleansing in our day-to-day life. That it might be evident to all that we have a Savior who loves us, who took away our sins. That others might know, and Father, that we might walk with confidence in this world, that we have a God who has cleansed us. Lord, help us here at the end of this year to reflect on all of the great things you have done for us this year, on all that we have to be thankful for. But help us also, Lord, to fall to our knees and confess how deeply and desperately we need you. We need your love. We need your grace. We need your forgiveness and your cleansing. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
to a podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.